It's the Currents Music News, the daily podcast where we tell you what you need to know about what's going on in the music world. Today's Thursday, December 13th. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade, and we are going all in on the newest class of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees, including the first woman to be inducted twice, a band that called it quits before they even made it big in the U.S., and one of the best acts from the 90s.
So we have a special treat today. We are one of no more than 1,000 podcasts who have a guest who is actually a voter in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction process. We're joined by Jim McGuinn, the Currents Program Director. How are you doing, Jim?
I'm doing great, you guys.
Thanks for popping in to join us. So let's start with a basic description of the voting process. Who decides who gets into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
It was a mystery to me when I was asked, but just one day I got an email, and at first I thought, is this real? Someone wants me in the Rock to vote for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And it turns out it was. And it's kind of, I hate to say it, but it's kind of who you know. Somebody nominated me and they checked out, you know, my job and title and said, yes. And I don't exactly know who.
It's like a secret society.
It kind of is. You know, I know there's about 1,000, maybe 1,500 people that vote. And it's an interesting process because they send you the ballot with little descriptions of each of the bands. And then you have to write, like, check box and mail it back.
Very old school.
It's very old school. Yeah.
Cool. Well, let's get into the artists who are inducted this year.
Let's start it off with Janet Jackson. And we know one other voting member, that would be Questlove, because he talked all about this Janet album. And he said it is criminal that Janet Jackson has not been inducted yet when it came out that she was one of the nominees this year. He said 32 years ago today, Control dropped and changed everything, including her brother and the mentor of her producers, Jimmy and Terry. He goes, whether we credit it or not, Control was the first new Jack Swing album. Yeah, it was breakbeat free and the young brash attitude made it a first. This was no one's kid sister. So obviously somebody who I'm guessing voted for Janet to get in this year. What do you guys think? Did she deserve it?
100%.
You know, I was listening to some early Janet material from that era and Rhythm Nation and reflecting in my head how much the rock is there, you know, because I think one of the questions that sometimes comes up is like, is this artist, quote, rock? And I think when you go back to those records, they're more rock than you might even have remembered them to be.
Yeah. And this is kind of a weird year for the rock in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, for sure, especially as we continue. But I think maybe we should just listen to a little Janet. So, yes, Questlove was a fan of Control, but Rhythm Nation is what a lot of people consider the Janet album. So let's listen to something off of that. This is Escapade.
So of all this year's nominees, it seems like the one that people have least to say about are The Cure. Of course they're in. They're alt-rock legends. They're kings of goth. They've even had some pop hits. Everybody's happy to see The Cure enter the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I have no qualms about this. It makes sense. They should be in.
Jim, do you think this is an artist who are appreciated increasingly over the years, or have they always been critically acclaimed?
Well, there was always a lot of love for The Cure going back to even the earliest records in the early 1980s. But I think as time goes on, you see New Order and The Cure and a couple of those bands from that era influencing today's artists more than ever before. So they are going to be a band that I think will continue to resonate with new artists today. And they should probably be recognized for the contributions they made to rock and roll history.
Here's Just Like Heaven.
It's kind of fun to add a band into the mix that doesn't really seem that excited about getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I'm talking about Radiohead. They have made it no small secret in the past that they were about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. In fact, Johnny Greenwood has said before, I don't care. And guitarist Ed O'Brien has said something kind of similar. He said, I want to be rude about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because for a lot of people it means something, but culturally, I don't understand it. But when the news broke, they seemed like they were all right with being inducted. The word from the band today is the members of Radiohead have been surprised to learn of the band's induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The band thanks the Hall of Fame voting body and extends congratulations to this year's fellow inductees. So obviously, they were kind of surprised, but they're, I guess, neutral about it. It seems a little strange, though, that Radiohead is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I wonder if that attitude helps explain why they haven't previously been inducted, because if you think about bands of their era, I can't imagine one that is nearly as revered as this band is.
I think that a lot of it has to do with the fact that they're still viewing themselves as an important contemporary artist, making new music constantly. So the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is one of those things that almost seems to denote, it's like a greatest hits album. It's like, it's what you do when you're kind of on the downswing. And if you don't feel like you are close to the downside of your career, it maybe is less exciting or enticing, or it's maybe a little scary. It kind of says that you're getting old, you know, you're getting up there in age, right? You've been making records for 25 years if you're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, more of a hindsight thing.
Yeah.
Well, this is one of the songs that people know Radiohead by best. It's Creep.
But I'm a creep.
So Kiss are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Bon Jovi, Journey. But this year, we might see the most canonically hair metal band yet to enter the Rock Hall canon. I'm talking about Def Leppard. And I'm going to go ahead and say, I still have kind of a hard time taking them seriously, but I guess voters don't.
They seem like, of all the bands that made it in this year, this seems like the most Rock and Roll Hall of Fame pick to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So for me, it felt just as it should.
You know, Def Leppard didn't get critical acclaim when those records were coming out, but Led Zeppelin didn't get critical acclaim when those records were coming out of theirs. So in hindsight, maybe those records are some of the best records of the 1980s. They certainly crossed over from rock to pop like nobody else. And as time has gone on, you've seen them kind of emerge as sort of elder statesmen of rock in a way. And they've also been unabashed in their love of a lot of the stuff that does resonate with Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, like their love of Bowie and their love of glam rock and how, you know, bands like Thin Lizzy influenced them. So I think that maybe they've made amends for some bad haircuts and now they're being recognized.
Well, they can start getting their hair in order for the induction ceremony. I don't think there's any suspense as to whether they're going to show up and blow it out for the induction ceremony.
They're probably the opposite of Radiohead in that they're loving the fact that they are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's going to be a career boost for them, whereas Radiohead's probably like, we're a little ambivalent.
Yeah, I don't even know if they'll actually show up. Tom York will probably have some weird art show going on and not show up.
Whereas I think Def Leppard have their backline already set up at Barclays Center now.
They put it there in hopes, fingers crossed.
Here's Photograph.
Well, another person who's really excited to be a part of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is already technically a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That would be Stevie Nicks. So Fleetwood Mac inducted back in 1998. But Stevie Nicks, she's had a huge solo career. She is an icon. There are still people today who are inspired by Stevie Nicks in their fashion. And Stevie Nicks was really excited. She said, I have a lot to say about this, but I will save those words for later. For now, I will just say I've been in a band since 1968. To be recognized for my solo work makes me take a deep breath and smile. It's a glorious feeling.
Do you think this will help resolve any of the tension over the creative center of Fleetwood Mac? I feel like people want to say it's Lindsey Buckingham. He's the mastermind. But as the years go by, Stevie Nicks just gets more and more and more recognition for her accomplishments.
Certainly, she's always been, I think, the biggest rock star in Fleetwood Mac. So in a way, it's not surprising that she's being recognized like this. But you're right. Lindsey has often been sort of considered the Brian Wilson of Fleetwood Mac. And but the truth is that, you know, the shawl works.
And hopefully she'll bring the shawl when she is on stage. So let's listen to Edge of 17.
So of this year's inductees, One of the lesser known, probably by the average music listener, is Roxy Music. But two of their members have names that might be more recognizable, Brian Ferry and Brian Eno. So Jim, how concisely would you describe the legacy of Roxy Music?
It's a really interesting one. You know, Eno was only in the band for the first two records, the early days, but that is when they were changing rock and roll as we know it, particularly in the UK. It didn't have a big impact in America until much later, and the band had already kind of changed by that point and become centered around Brian Ferry's suave, sophisticated looks, you know. But in the early days, they were one of the bands that led to punk rock in that they were doing something different, and Eno was just all over the map. He proved that you didn't have to be a classically trained musician to make music really interesting. And what he did with the synths on those early records in the 70s was just groundbreaking and super innovative and influential on the next generations of bands that came out of the UK.
There are any number of haunting Roxy Music songs. Here's Love is the Drug.
Can't you see? Love is the drug.
And rounding out this year's inductees is a band that, man, I think this has been the most drawn out of a lot of these bands, Zombies. Best known for their hits She's Not There, Time of the Season. This is a band that has been eligible since 1989, and they've been nominated four times, but 2018 was their year. So, Jim, what do you think made it take so long for the Zombies to get in?
Well, I think there were the obvious choices of bands from the 60s, and,
yes,
you know, the obvious choices have gone in. And so now we're looking a little bit deeper at some other acts who had an impact, but maybe weren't the first tier with the Kinks and the Beatles and the Stones and the Who and all those other bands, particularly the British bands. And so now we're sort of recognizing, first of all, Odyssey and Oracle, their 1968 record, has always been a great record, but it seems in the last few years it's been recognized as one of the true masterpieces of rock history.
Yeah, and it's kind of helped because the band has gone back on tour and sort of giving everybody this reintroduction to the Zombies. And maybe that's why this is finally the time.
I saw them for the first time last year and was blown away by how good they were for a bunch of guys in their 70s, just ripping it up on stage. And it was one of the funnest shows I saw in 2017.
Well, let's listen to a classic, give you a taste of the Zombies with She's Not There.
Why should I care? Please don't bother trying to find her. She's not there. Well, let me tell you about the way she looks.
So that's who made it in, but we also have to talk about the people who didn't make it in. The people who are on the ballot this year and didn't make the cut included Devo, John Prine, Kraftwerk, LL Cool J, the MC5, Rage Against the Machine, Rufus featuring Chaka Khan, and Todd Rundgren. Jim, any big surprises or disappointments?
I don't know about surprises, but I know that as a voter, I was torn between wanting to vote for the ones that I thought definitely should or would make it in, and then wanting to kind of like use my vote as like a protest vote to say, no, Kraftwerk is really important. So I voted for Kraftwerk, even though I didn't think they were going to make it in, and Todd and Devo as well.
Well, and LL Cool J would have been just one of several hip-hop inductees into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and that means there are no hip-hop artists being inducted this year. I'm sure a lot of people are going to look at that and say, this isn't the greatest look, Rock Hall.
Yeah, but it's always been sort of a contentious, should we put hip-hop into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? There are some hip-hop artists that kind of fit and straddled those worlds maybe a little bit easier, but there are a lot of rock bands that aren't in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I mean, I personally think Nine Inch Nails should be going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And I suppose given his Grammys experience, if LL Cool J was there, the question would be, if he's being inducted, does he also have to host? The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony will happen on March 29th, 2019 at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, and there'll be an edited special airing on HBO later in the spring. Well, that's today in the Current's music news. Jim, thanks for stepping in to join us today.
You know, there's nothing more fun than debating rock and roll.
I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade.
Our producer is Luke Taylor. If you've enjoyed the Current's music news, rate and review the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back tomorrow with more music news headlines and a roundup of this week's new releases. But I couldn't.